Welcome to The Medium Matters. I'm your host, Chantel. I have some amazing friends with me tonight. You guys want to introduce yourselves?
Hi, my name is Marie Rose.
And I'm Lily.
You sounded very corporate. I was going to say, not you, Marie. So we want to introduce you guys to our new amazing podcast about the metaphysical world and everything that entails, from Reiki to meditation and manifestation and ghosts and connecting with loved ones and you name it, we got it. So we're going to travel this road together, and tonight we just want to introduce you to ourselves and what brought us to this road and how we all connected through Reiki and ghosting and you name it. So to kick things off, I guess I can tell you guys a little bit about me. So I am statuesque, like an Amazon. Just kidding. My lovely friend Marie approached me a couple years ago about, talked to me about her Reiki experience and how she had just done Reiki level one and how wonderful it was. And as she spoke, I cringed and moved away, and she said, but listen, and I said, but no. And I had a very, very healthy fear of the paranormal and metaphysical and you name it. I wanted nothing to do with it because I, like a genius, dabbled with a Ouija board in my mid-teen years, and some crazy crap was unleashed because of that. So I can give you guys more detail about that as we journey through this episode. Do you guys want to talk about what led you guys to Reiki and exploring the other side?
Sure.
Well, like you said, it started with just experiences from a long time ago. I had someone close cross to the other side, and a medium was talking to his wife, and this medium was spot on, and it really piqued my interest. So I started reading up on it, researching it, found some meditations and what things that you can do to cross over to the other side. And
like, you cross over from the physical world, visit the other side,
visit
permanently.
Right, just visit the other side, right. and talk to others on the other side. And some things happened that were just too real, too close to home, and I realized I didn't know what I was doing, and so I stopped. And then Miss Lily over here was telling me about her Reiki experience, and she had me hooked. And I shared with her what had happened to me, and that sounded like the answer I was looking for. It sounded like finally there was a direction, some guidance, some teaching that I could do to protect myself and learn about it in the proper way instead of me just bouncing down the highway without a map.
Mm-hmm. So what specifically happened for you, if you're cool talking about it, that made you realize that you were not well equipped to handle what you were walking into?
There was a session, for lack of a better word, where I was talking to somebody on the other side, and they had said some things that, you know, we can probably go over in a different session, but it scared me to death. I mean, I was shocked. It was also very healing, but...
Oh, so this wasn't like a negative message. This was...
No, it was a wonderful message, okay, that brought closure to an issue that I was having about the past, and it brought everything to clarity. I understood then and there why things happened the way they happened, and that I didn't do anything wrong. It's the way things were supposed to happen.
Right.
But it was so earth-shattering and so truthful and so honest. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in way over my head.
Right.
It was too real. I had to stop.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see why a lot of people, we've heard, the three of us, how a lot of people will go into Reiki, do level one, and say, yep, I'm out. That's all I needed. Mm-hmm. If that, because it does open a lot of things. A lot of things that you didn't know you could do. You know, a lot of the clairs start to open up and become, you know, come into the forefront for you. And that could be really scary. Well, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. Ms. Lily, what brought you into the metaphysical world?
It's actually interesting because, unlike both of you, I was very closed-minded about the metaphysical for a very long time. I held almost a clinch to my Christian upbringing, my very Catholic upbringing, to be honest, and sort of shunned everything and things that I saw, things that I can look back now and see them for what they were. I just absolutely refused to recognize. I had a sibling who was open to things like crystal healing and the vibrations of energies, and I just, you know, thought I would never get my sibling back, kind of a thing.
Right.
And I received a book for Christmas one year, and it was from that sibling. And I read it and thought, yeah, whatever. But I went ahead and read it, and as I was going through, and they were described as spells, as casting, as prayers, as benediction and invocations. And these were, the benediction and invocation, intentions, were all words that were very much religious, had religious intonations
right.
to me. And so I was able to look at the words that were listed in that book, things like helping to clear her kitchen, for example. It's called The Good Energy. The book was called The Good Energy. And I looked at them and I went, she's just praying. It's a prayer. It was, you know, asking for guidance, asking for healing, asking for a clean home, you know, clean energy in the home. And it made me realize that, you know, where she's invoking God and Goddess, that was no different than me invoking God or Jesus,
right.
or Mary. You
right.
know, I'm Catholic, very Mary-centric. So,
because prayer comes in so many different forms.
It does. It does. And it hit me that it didn't have to be my way or the highway, that while I don't think that all energy work, and Reiki certainly isn't religiously based, the energy part of it, to me, just... I was able to reconcile my religious side with this new sort of budding interest into energy work. And they are now cohesive. It's all one. It's all the same. It doesn't matter that someone says priest or priestess, where
right.
I say God or Mary or Jesus or anybody, what Buddha, Allah, whatever. It's more from within and how we each approach it. And so that sort of, once I reconciled that, then a friend of mine said that he knew someone who did Reiki, and I actually went to her for my animals. And when I met her, I said, hey, you know, if you know anyone who teaches, she goes, no, my teacher's in Pensacola, I'm not going to teach. And I said, well, if you ever teach, let me know. And we kind of did this back and forth dance for a couple of years, and lo and behold, one day our mutual friend says, hey, she's going to go ahead and teach a class. And I took that class, talked to Marie talked to you. And it's been an amazing, amazing journey. Mm-hmm. And my eyes have been opened. I think I've been able to sort of incorporate. I have such a fuller life as a result of it. And
agreed. I feel the same way.
It's just expanded so much. It's been wonderful.
I do remember when you got into it, and I do remember when you got into that some years ago. It's been 6 years?
I think a good 5 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you telling me about it and showing me how to ask your body for answers, right. You know, mm-hmm. like you would use a pendulum, but use your own body. Mm-hmm. And while there was part of me that thought it was so cool, there was another part of me that was like, oh, hell, what is going on? My friend.
I've lost her forever.
I know.
She's gone to the other side.
And you guys know what a chicken I am because you both approached me about Reiki and I fought it with garlic and everything. I'm like, no, that's crazy talk.
Well, and I think that's a good point is that it's timing. It yes. has to be right yes. at the time. So when very you much. And I talked, it wasn't right, but maybe there was something planted. And, you know, with Marie, like she was open to it immediately because she'd had these experiences before and kind of knew where I didn't know anything because I'd blocked. I refused right. to see all of that kind of stuff. So
agreed. Yes.
Yeah. And had I met that friend even 6 months before, there's no way I would have been open right. to that. So it, yeah, timing's everything.
Yeah. I got to agree with that. I know, you know, from my experiences, I'll tell you kids, approach a Ouija board with caution. I think approach any of this with caution. Like you need to mm-hmm. be educated and careful and don't take everyone at their word. If they say like, oh, I can teach you X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
You need to do your research.
Yeah. Definitely don't believe everything you hear.
Yes. There are, I don't know. There's a lot out there. And for everything you read, there's going to be something that opposes it in 10 different ways. And I will never, ever claim that anything that we're talking about here is 100%. Like, that's the only way. It's our way. And I think even the three of us do things differently all the time. We have the
definitely.
Same. Yeah, we have the same overall intention, which we lead with love and light always. Sometimes I don't want to do that. I really want to impose harm, but I would never do that. So for me, I do know my fear, like I said, comes from a place of playing with a Ouija board and opening a gateway. It was like floodgates to a lot of energy that we were not prepared for. And as a result, we had crazy crap go on in our home. Like things would, you know, you like lay something down somewhere and you come back to get it and it's gone. An example of that is I had a necklace that I would take off every time I went to shower and I would put it on a teddy bear that sat on my bureau. And one day I come out of the shower and the necklace is gone and I couldn't find it. It was probably a couple of weeks. And then I happened to be standing next to the bed, dropped something, bent down to pick it up, and our bed was very, very tall, this bed, where you could just kind of lean over and see underneath it. And what was underneath my bed? It was the Ouija board boxed up because I didn't know how to get rid of it. And right there on top of the box was the necklace laid neatly, so neat. It was, and I can't even tell you how creeped out I was.
You're creeping me out right now.
I'd have been out. Just gone.
Right. Well, at like 15, I had nowhere to go. So that was it for me. So it was things like that. And I remember specifically one night playing with the board with our roommate and her sister. And we lived in a three-story condo and our roommate's room was at the third story. So the three of us are up there like 10 p.m. or 11 p.m., you know, whatever. As spooky as you can make it is what we were doing. And I'm sure somebody read in a book somewhere that, oh, the best time to do it is, you know, when it's pitch black outside and light, you know, 17 candles. And so that's what we did. And the first crazy thing that happened is, I don't know what that little plastic piece in the middle is called that has like the clear plastic in the mid, you know, whatever. So anyway, that little white gadget like flew off the board and went across the room. And at that point we're like, yeah, we're out. So we stopped, but as we're sitting in the room, just kind of talking about, oh my gosh, what just happened? And we hear running up and down the stairs. We had two sets of stairs in the house, obviously, with three stories. And at the time, one of my aunts was staying at our home with her family, my uncle, the three kids. And I just knew, I'm like, oh, they're going to be in so much trouble, because we had gotten in trouble for running up and down the stairs, and my aunt and uncle were sleeping on the first floor, so they could hear everything. And so we heard all this running up and down the stairs and giggling, and, you know, it wasn't loud, but it was enough. So in any event, we come out, you know, open the bedroom door and peek down the staircase, and everything is dark. So we go down the stairs, look around the wall. My poor friend Lily is going to fall out of her chair.
I'm all covered up. Peeking through my eyes.
So we come down her flight of stairs and peek around the wall, and everything is dark. Like, everyone is in their room asleep. And I can smell my uncle's cologne, and I'm thinking, oh, he definitely just took a shower up here and went downstairs. And long story short, everyone was asleep. My aunt and uncle heard all the commotion in the night. They're like, we told you guys to not be doing, you know, this is the next day. We asked you guys to please not do that. It's hard for us to sleep. And we're like, it was not us. But we definitely heard these little kids running up and down the stairs, and the smell of Dracar. Yes, at like midnight. In a dark hallway.
So is that the preferred scent of ghosts?
It is. It is. So it was an interesting time for sure. So those are some of the shenanigans that went down. And after that, I think, is when we really were, you know, we had played, I don't know, 2-3 times. It wasn't a lot, but enough so that we opened a lot of large garage doors for energies to come through. And that was it was just such a scary time. I would go to bed every night and put my headphones in and listen to the radio, so I didn't have to, in case I heard some noise in the room, and I didn't want to hear it. So I would do that every night and pull the covers way over my head. I mean, hot and sweaty in there, but I'm like, nope, you're going to have to work to get me. And it never, almost every single night, if I remember correctly, I would feel someone running their hand down my back.
Are you okay?
It's a wonder you, yeah. I understand your trepidation, I will say
yes,
that.
Yes. So that went on. I mean, it was months that went on, and things just got weirder and weirder, and eventually we left that home. Before we burned the Ouija board, which I now understand is not the thing to do. However, at the time, we're like, this thing needs to go. And slowly things got back to normal. You know, it really has a way of taking over your life. And I mean everything, your finances, your career, you name it. It's like anybody that was close to us and that spent time with us seemed to start, you know, it's like a run of bad luck. And we were just, you touch us, and that's what it really seemed like. It was, you know, we had family members, my grandmother, some of my other aunts that just didn't want to come over because they felt the heaviness in the air. And, you know, we have a lot of sensitives in our family, and so they definitely saw it. So yeah, from that I developed a very, very healthy respect for the other side. And
what happened to the house? Did you just leave it for the next family?
Well, I wasn't properly trained at the time. No, you know what's interesting is when we went to see that condo to rent it, it had been empty for easily a year plus, which is rare. I mean, this was San Diego. So rare. You know, rentals and everything, it flies off the market. So I remember going with my mom to see this place. Very cool, three stories, you know, I mean, just a few blocks from the beach. From the third story balcony, you could see the ocean, which was amazing. So why this place was empty for so long is just a freaking mystery.
Because it was haunted.
Divine timing, because that Oh, I want to cuss so bad. That damn condo was waiting for us. So yeah, I do believe, and my mom says the same thing, that there was already something going on there. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it was, there was some demon or ghost or, but it could have just been residual energy, negative energy from, I mean, families prior. It may not have even been the family that occupied it right before us.
It'd be interesting to find out the history on that house.
I've looked it up since. I think, you know, last time I looked it up was maybe a year ago, and there was, you know, really nothing on there. I was just so sure. I'm like, I know I'm going to find some story in the paper about some, like, haunting.
And that's a good point, too, that, you know, you talk about negative energy or things from other people, and it may have just been negative for you. It may have, you know, just something that didn't serve you. It might have been fine for the people who lived there before.
Right.
That's but just a good point. not good for you and your family. Right. So, I know we'll get into that later with protection and mm-hmm. self-care, but that's a...
No, that's a... You raise a great point because, you know, I've heard and read people talk about haunted locations, a house that's known to be haunted, or, you know, a family moved out because they couldn't handle it, and someone else moves in, doesn't know anything about it. They're perfectly fine, don't have any experiences. And it could have been anything, and we could have just been prime for that kind of...
Well, it's like you said, you're full of sensitives in your family.
Very much. Very much. My mom seems to be... She gets her information in her dreams. And when she has a crystal clear dream, she knows things are up. And she, after the very first time that I played on the Ouija board with our roommate's sister, the following morning, I remember at breakfast, my mom saying, "Man, I had the worst dream last night. It was so scary. I dreamt that I was laying in bed and I could see up through the ceiling into the third story, the third floor bedroom, and saw you and so-and-so playing on the Ouija board and asking it these questions and, you know, is anyone with us and who's here, and seeing a very dark energy standing behind both of you." And what is so crazy is we looked at each other because the questions, I think she rattled off two questions, and those are questions that we had asked the day before. In the bright daylight, I mean, we were chickens when we played that the first time. Both of us, you know, like 15, 16. But she was spot on with the information she got in that dream. I mean, it's like she had been sitting in the room with us and got that information.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. Wow, indeed. Yeah, so if she ever tells you, "I had a dream about you and it was crystal clear."
You listen.
Yes.
Pay attention.
Yes. So it was such an interesting time. And like I said, once we left there, it seems like things really took a turn for the better. And just, you know, I don't want to say magically, but it's perspective, and it's your environment and your emotional state and mental state and all of those things. And it takes such a toll, that kind of energy, that negativity, it really takes its toll. Mm-hmm.
So I understand you have a lot of people who can feel energy in your family. Lily, how about your family?
I think that in my immediate family, not as, definitely not as much as Chantel has led on, or has in her family. Mine... I've got healers in the family on my dad's side, and they're a group of Native Americans. It's only one or two generations back that we have Indians in our family, and the healing part's passed on through the women. And I think it's not unconscious, but just they're not 100% aware of what they're doing. I think there's a lot of nurturing on the female side.
Sure.
On my mom's side too. It's just, it's not cognizant. it's just innate. It's not anything that they're aware of or passing on in any kind of structured way. My mom definitely is sensitive, but just thinks it's part of her. It's a quirk. It's not anything. She doesn't see it as a gift. What about you, Miss Marie?
Well, what I always tell all my friends is that I'm half Thai, half redneck. And my mom's from Thailand. My dad's from North Carolina. I don't think there's anything on my dad's side, at least nothing that I know of. But definitely on my mom's side. And she's always had feelings and I just thought she's my crazy mom, whatever mom, right?
Both moms.
Yeah. And so I never really listened to her, as most daughters don't listen to their mothers. But I would have experiences myself, but I never put two and two together. And so I definitely believe that any senses, any gifts that I may have comes from that side of the family. And unfortunately, there's just no way to trace, you know, there is no ancestry.com for Thailand. You know, it just doesn't exist. And so that's where I get my gifts from.
So how young do you recall being when you knew you had something extra that maybe like your friends didn't have, or you realized that you could?
Fourth grade.
Really?
Fourth grade. I had a dream that I was crying and I was sitting in a chair and there was a girl sitting to my right who was patting me, telling me everything was going to be okay. And I looked to my left and it was a window, and outside the window was a covered sidewalk and then a large desk in front of me. And a man sitting behind that desk with, I saw, remember, these large hands, and he was rustling some papers. Well, it was my birthday in the fourth grade, and we were on the playground, and these two girls got into a fight because one wanted to give me birthday spankings, and the other girl, and this other girl was stopping her, saying, "Oh no, you don't!" And those two ended up getting into a fight. And the teacher on duty at the time sent all three of us to the office. And I was a good girl. Marie doesn't get sent to the office. And it was my birthday, dadgummit, and I got sent to the office. So I walked in first, sat in the corner. And I'm already upset. I'm crying because it's my birthday and I'm sitting in the principal's office. My friend, Cedra, was sitting to my right. She started patting my hand, telling me everything's going to be okay. I looked out the window, and it was the front of the school, and there's the covered sidewalk in the front of the school. I looked up, and there's the principal's desk, and there's the principal. He has big old hands ruffling through some papers.
That is insane.
I lost my mind. I was crying before. I just went into full blown hysterics. And that's when I knew. And he just looked at me. He's like, "Calm down." And yeah, it's okay. You're not in trouble. You're not in trouble. Your only crime today is that it's your birthday. And he sent me out. He sent me back to class.
Wow.
And since then,
so even at a young age, you knew crying would get you out of trouble.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And that was the first of a few dreams I learned to listen to them over time.
Wow. I did not know that about you. That's interesting. Lily, when did you know that you had maybe the ability to identify any sensitivities, or did it really begin for you once you got into Reiki?
It really did. So very late, probably within the last, you know, like we were talking, 5-6 years since we started that. When I in 2013, I left my corporate job and went into massage school, and the students I worked with, somebody was a foreigner and very, very nervous, and when we would get a massage from her, it was, you could feel it, and it never, you know, the strokes were right and everything, but you just never felt good. And I would put my classmates to sleep. And I think I had started Reiki, but that's about the time that I started realizing that, hey, maybe there really is something, right, something else, something more. So. And
you guys don't know this as the audience, but she is an incredible masseuse. Incredible.
Thank you.
Marie, have you had a massage?
Oh, yeah. She's awesome.
Right?
She's awesome.
Like, birthday spanking awesome.
Right? Except I wouldn't know. I never got that spanking.
Well, you got more birthdays coming, so. We got your number.
Did not just go there.
Well, you girls all might let spank me.
Yeah, I'll spank you.
I think we've horrified Lily.
Yes. She is beet red right now. I wish you guys could see it. Wait for the YouTube channel. You'll see it. Well, I...
Sorry, inside a little bit.
So, Lily, you were saying that your experiences really started when you got into Reiki. You didn't have, you know, or notice the sensitivities prior to that, correct?
Nothing... In retrospect, yes, but nothing at the time. Nothing that stood out. You know, I can look back. I know when I was a teenager in Germany, a few things happened. And, you know, we can talk about those a later time. But nothing at the time that I thought was relevant or meant anything.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I know as a kid, I just knew. I couldn't see anyone, but I knew that people were around. And I remember specifically, we lived in base housing in Quantico. And I will never forget, every time I got sent to go upstairs to get something, I would have to go up there by myself. Nobody was on the second floor. And I would sing the whole way up the stairs because I just knew that I was going to alert someone that I was coming and you better get out of my way because I didn't want to see anybody. So I didn't know how to identify that and say, oh, I can see, but I can't see. And now I understand that I could sense them, but couldn't see them. And now I can see them mostly in my mind's eye is how I can see other beings. But yeah, I remember that clearly. And interestingly enough, I want to say it was a Reiki session with you guys, and I was getting the session, and during that session I met one of my guides who I want to say would be, I don't know, maybe my main guide. And he showed me how he's been with me all of my life through all these different things, and showed me being there on those stairs with me, going up and down the stairs when I was afraid, and some other things, which is so interesting because I hadn't thought about that in so long. So for him to show that to me was just interesting because I'm like, man, I had to be like six years old. So
that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I'll never forget that. So it was really cool for that. And there was some other stuff. I remember specifically in those little clips that he showed me, there was another time where I almost got into an accident that would have been horrific and maybe not have survived it. But I had come to a red light, and as my light turned green, and it was a red light at an intersection, of course, and the road that I was going to turn onto was a very busy main road. And as my light turned green, I had my driver's license in my hand, and it fell out of my hand. So I kept my foot on the brake, reached down to grab it, and, I mean, just took a microsecond because I could see it. And as I sat back up in my seat to go forward into the green light, a van came from my left side, which, I mean, that van would have hit me right on the driver's side and thrown that Jeep. It just would have been horrible. I mean, that guy was flying. So it's little things like that. And, you know, that was one thing that he showed me, and that was just incredible because, again, another memory that I hadn't recalled in probably years. So it's been so cool to get into this and to see all the development in all of us, because the three of us work together a lot. We meet weekly and do sessions, or at a minimum just try to get together and unload and talk about whatever's going on for us. So it's been so nice. And once I finally decided to take the leap and get into Reiki, things evolved quickly at lightning speed for me. And it was a little scary, but I learned fast that I had a lot of control. And I remember our teacher saying that, and I'm like, you are full of there's no way. There's no way. And as soon as, I mean, when that happened, we were in level one, or I had just done my level one. You guys had our, I mean, you were in, Marie, you were in level one. You, Lily, were in three already. You'd already done your level three, which really has no relevance to the story, but but just so you got, you know, you understand what I'm talking about. And I was going through the cleanse after our Reiki level one, and this is just something that is specific to the way our teacher does her Reiki classes, as we do a cleanse at the end, and it's so many good purposes, and we'll talk about that at another time. However, going through this cleanse was such an experience for me. I remember calling her saying, something is way wrong. I'm being touched at night. I am not cool with this. I know there were people in here. I am seeing things I wasn't seeing before. I mean, it was something, and she was so kind to not laugh, but she did tell me what to do, and it was empowering in so many ways, not just working with the metaphysical, but in my day-to-day life at work and relationships, and to have that assertiveness and to set those healthy boundaries. It's been really, really intriguing and eye-opening, and the growth has been like nothing I could have imagined. It's been such a great journey. What do you guys feel are some of the things that, like, some of the areas where you've grown the most, and some of the places where you want to keep growing? Which, I mean, I think we want to keep growing in every area, but I mean, I know for me, I want to keep working on my clairs. I figured out with all of this that I'm not even going to pretend to say all the clairs, because it's always tough for me to remember which is which. But I know for sure, like, my top one is clairvoyance, which is clear seeing. So I can see other beings. And usually it's in my mind's eye, like I said before. On occasion, I can see them with my physical eyes. Sometimes a whole person, sometimes just, you know, bits and pieces. I can see auras. I can, on occasion, see into someone's body. It's rare that that happens for me, but it does happen. I can hear other beings, communicate with them telepathically. I know there's other things, and I can't think of it right now. So there's a lot of stuff that I want to keep working on, and meditation has been so huge in helping those gifts to grow, just to foster that stuff and to set my intentions, what I want to do. So what do you guys, what have been some of your experiences, and where do you want to take your gifts?
For me, I think the gift that has shown most prevalent is, and I don't know if I'm saying it right, clairsentience, the knowing, where I don't have to see. I know, and I keep using this example, but just like I know the sky is blue, that is how much I know whatever information I've received, whether it's someone there or a phrase or something that I have to tell a person as we're doing it during their Reiki session. For me, this whole experience has been absolutely life-changing. Getting into meditation, sort of calming the mind and getting that that sense of peace that comes from within. What I'm really interested in is the healing aspect that others can get from doing Reiki, and that I get from self-Reiki and from when we share, we do our sessions and share. And that is, I'm definitely interested in pursuing other energy modalities and delving into arenas that have interest in, have, I think, relevance from a past, that have relevance from my ancestry.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So you said that you, I'm going to backtrack a little bit to the clairs. So one of the clairs that you don't have, I don't want to say you don't have, but you don't foster, is clairvoyance.
Right.
Like, that's my number one. Mm-hmm. But for you, that is not your number one. It's probably not even in your top five.
No.
Because we learned in our Reiki training that, and it's not specific to Reiki, but you set the intentions. You decide what your rules are. And for me, it was going to happen regardless.
Right.
It's not because,
right,
I said, come on.
Well, no, I think everyone has their gift, the thing that,
right,
is most innate.
Right. But for you, you did set a rule that you did not want to see.
Correct.
Okay.
No, I do not.
Yeah. So that's one of the things we learned, is to set those rules for ourselves. And it's for protection. It's for your comfort. It's many purposes. And we will have a Reiki conversation that's going to expose a lot of cool things. And some of this will be repeated, but you're going to hear a lot of this anyway. So over and over. So that is one of the rules that you set for yourself, is, yes, you did not want to see.
No.
Where I initially, I don't think I've ever said I don't want to see once I started setting my rules, but I was very clear about, I will only see the highest beings and God's love and light. And right, that's still one of my rules, because I don't want to dabble in low energies or,
right,
you know, any, I had enough of that at 15. All good.
And that experience, all done.
Yeah. And every now and then, I mean, I still get a little something of, you know, we've done sessions together, mm-hmm, Reiki sessions, where we have, I've seen it, you have felt it.
Sensed it, yes.
And I know Marie, on some, I can't recall how you identified it, but I know, like, we all were aware of a low energy being, mm-hmm, in our space with us, and we did some things to remove them. And, you know, and that's one of the things, you know, it comes with time, and you want to educate yourself because of things like that. You can get attachments and all kinds of things that you don't want. You don't want to take that stuff home. You don't want it latching onto you. And we've got those stories too, all three of us. Mm-hmm. So, well, that's really cool. And you are certainly comfortable with the rules that you set and your healthy boundaries.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I'm not saying that they won't change over time. And
right,
I think that's important for anyone starting out. Go with where you're comfortable, and then as you evolve and grow. So I always say never say never. And I've actually deleted that, because sometimes you do need to say never, or right, never saying never sets you up to say never, if that makes, it's a negative. It's a negative.
I understand exactly what you're saying. It's like creating a manifestation.
Right.
And you say, I never want to be broke. And
right,
what the universe is going to throw back at you is, oh, she always wants to be broke.
Right. Broke. Exactly.
No, I got what you're saying.
Yeah.
So, double negative.
Right.
Double negative. Right. Set your intentions, set your boundaries, your rules, everything in the positive. But for now, I am not interested in seeing with my mind's eye or my physical eye any of those things. I am a wuss. I do get afraid. I have nightmares, or I have had nightmares, mm-hmm, when I was a kid. So I'm not interested in seeing anything that would cause that kind of frightening situation in my life. So,
yes,
I don't see.
I agree.
I know, and that's fine.
No, and that is fine. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean,
it's fine for me.
Right. And honestly, even if you wanted to see, that may not be your strength.
Mm-hmm.
Just like for me, I don't really feel like I'm that big of an empath where I can feel other people's emotions and take them on. In certain instances, I'm stronger than others than other times, but I really don't even care to to foster
develop
that at all.
That or,
yeah,
right.
Not mm-hmm. even a little bit. Why would I want to feel crappy like somebody else?
Right.
I'm like, just tell me you feel crappy. I will send you love and light if that's what you want.
Right.
And we'll go from there.
We'll do the solution part.
Right.
I don't have to
exactly.
be all involved in it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Marie, how about you? Because we've been gabbing over here.
Oh, it's all good. I'm learning all kinds of stuff about you, too.
Marie wants a spanking.
I'm editing that out.
Don't say that. I was denied in the fourth grade. Like Lily, I believe clairsentient, if that's how you say the word. I feel it. I know it. I know it down to my core that those things are true. And as far as where I want to go, what do I want to be when I grow up? I'm not quite sure yet.
Right.
If anything, Reiki has taught me there's so much out there to learn. It's one of those things where, you know, once you learn something, you find out there's so much that you don't know. And there's so many different fields. I just want to learn a little bit about everything, and let's see what gets me excited and what path I want to go down. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I'm so super pumped to work on this podcast, especially with you guys being with me. I don't know where that's going to go. You know, we don't know. We have no idea what the future holds for us, and we could manifest till our, you know, we turn blue in the face and in the elbow, and it just may not be what's right for us. You know, ultimately what's destined for us is what's going to happen, and what's best for us is what's going to happen. And I'm just, I'm super excited to see where this goes, with Reiki, with, you know, developing all of these abilities. And seems like every time we complete another level of Reiki with our classmates and our teacher, a lot more stuff opens up for us and we become aware of so much more. And it's just it's a very specific and special kind of growth. And I'm so excited to get to do that with you guys, because if I did this by myself, I don't think I would be this far at all. It's nice to be around like-minded people. That get it.
Well, thank you for letting us go along with you on this journey. I mean, the three of us get together and it's just good vibes.
Every time. I think I can probably think of one time that it was not good, and it was a, you know, just a tragic situation. But even then, it ended up being such an incredible night. And just, I feel like most of the time when we get, you know, when we get together, we end the night with, wow, that was crazy. Or, you know, it's always something new. It's awesome. So I hope all of you out there have friends like this, and, you know, more than friends, they're family and your besties, and you can, you know, count on them for anything. And how fitting, there is seriously a black cat walking.
A fluffy black cat.
Walking past us right now
and coming back.
Hey,
that's crazy. See, what did I just say? We on the night with, that's crazy.
The three of us get together and a black cat always appears.
Right.
He's like, hey, what's up?
There I go again.
There you go. That's crazy. That's awesome.
Very, very awesome. So is there anything else you guys want to share about your background? What brought you here, where you want to go, things you want to work on? I know for me, I'm super pumped, like I said, to do this, and I want to take this all over the place. I think I've talked one of my besties here into doing a ghost hunt with me.
One, not the other.
Yes. I was going to say, you can probably guess at this point which one is in and which one is out. So
I happen to be out of town that weekend.
Not the whole weekend, if I recall correctly. So, no pressure. We're not going to force you. Not a lot. Not a lot.
It's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. It is going to be fun. I'm really excited to see where that's going to take us and all the cool people we're going to meet along the way and all the interesting stories we're going to hear from all these cool people we meet along the way and all that stuff. So it's really exciting. I have to say I feel blessed for having experienced everything I've experienced to date because it's brought me here and it's made me this person for better or worse. You know, this is
definitely for better.
This is where we're at. So it's exciting. Exciting time. So you guys have anything else you want to add to the conversation tonight?
Nope, that's it. Thank you, and everybody have a good day.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Chantel. It's exciting to go along with you as you realize your dreams. It's thank you for including us.
Thank you guys for being here. I don't think I'll ever have enough words to tell you like what this means to me and how exciting it is to do this with people you love and trust so much. So with that, thank you guys for joining us. Love and light to everyone, and until next time.